The methods of discipline in schools are vastly different now from what they were a few generations ago. Some of us are old enough to remember paddles hanging in classrooms with the understanding that they could be used on students' rear ends. We've migrated away from corporal punishment, obviously, and the techniques and approaches continue to be refined. School systems across the country are adopting the concept of restorative justice into their programs. The idea is to go beyond infraction and punishment. The Phoenix Talent District in the Rogue Valley is one district embracing the approach. We have with us from Phoenix High School, Jannie Hale, the principal. Jannie, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you for having me here.
And Jannie brought a student along with her. Angela Escalante is a sophomore at Phoenix High School. Thank you for joining us, Angela.
Thank you very much.
And we also have with us from the organization Resolve, which we'll explain more in just a moment, Raphael Kunkel, who is the Director of Education, Training, and School Programs. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
In fact, let's start with you and tell us about Resolve, what it is and what it does.
Sure. So Resolve is a center for dispute resolution and restorative justice here in Southern Oregon. We serve both Jackson and Josephine counties, and we've been around for about 25 years. Just this last April, we changed our name from Mediation Works to Resolve. And part of the reason for that change was really we felt that the name Mediation Works was no longer encompassing all of the work that we are doing in the areas of both dispute resolution and restorative justice.
All right. So something beyond just mediation. Mm-hmm. I did notice your phone number still ends in 2468.
It does.
So let's all go and mediate. Jannie Hale, tell us a bit about how the concept of justice or punishment has evolved already in school in the time, for example, that you've been principal at Phoenix High.
Well, started out with a need for an alternative way to work with students as human beings, be in relationship with students. And in the old method, and I'm old, Jeffrey, I've been around a long time, and I looked at our referral form, and it was the same one I used at South Medford for 20 years, and it's just a matter of you report, you turn in the report to the teacher, the teacher gives their side, and they give it to the student management or dean, and then the dean sits with the student and understands what happened, and then consequences are given, and those can be black and white, or we can work with students. But bottom line, the teacher doesn't have the opportunity to really express any impact on them personally, and the student doesn't have the opportunity to heal any damage between themselves and the teacher. So I just try to imagine a home being run in the same way as we run a school, and it's pretty old school. I mean, I'd say it's almost like 19th century, black and white. Here's the punishment. Here's the consequences. Now let's learn. And we've been working so hard at Phoenix High School to build relationships with students, student-to-student relationships, student-to-teacher relationships, teacher-to-teacher relationships. And Jeff, I just think that the first year we just all began to understand our current system in light of those values. And then we began to look at ways that our current system, our referral form, or even our handbook was out of line with our values.
Is high school the toughest place to get corrections to behavior to stick?
I'm the mayor of Teen Town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Teen Town. I am in the minority. I'm an adult in a school with just about 750 teenagers. When I was assistant principal at South Medford, I was one of four administrators with just about 1,700 teenagers. If you've raised teenagers, you know that some things don't stick. They don't make any changes. You give the same referral over and over and over again. And I got so excited when Deltra from Resolve made an appointment to see me, and she had this idea. And I thought, why not? Let's see how this plays out.
So was it Resolve, formerly Mediation Works, Rafi, that proposed the restorative justice program at Phoenix High School?
It was, yeah. We've been working in doing restorative justice work in partnership with our community in juvenile justice for nearly 20 years now. And when I began working at Resolve, I worked really closely with my colleague, Kara Walsh, the Director of Restorative Justice, and she mainly works on the criminal justice end of things. And I was really exploring the different programs and services we have available for schools, and we started talking about what it could look like if we took the same principles and practices that we were using in partnership with our community in juvenile justice, and we really applied those in a school setting.
So what are some of the basic principles of restorative justice, just generally?
Sure. So everybody defines restorative justice a little bit differently because it can look so different in every community because it really responds to the needs of the unique community that it's in. But I find it's a little easier to understand restorative justice if you can compare it to the traditional justice or discipline system that exists. So where traditional justice or discipline really asks questions like what rule or law was broken, who did it, what should the punishment be? Restorative practices or restorative justice really views rule breaking as more than just breaking a rule, but really violating people, relationships, and the community. So it asks questions such as who was harmed, what are the needs and obligations of everybody who was affected, and what's the best way to really engage everybody in a conversation to really determine how to repair the harm. So it's really viewing things in a school through the lens of how are we building really positive relationships, and then how are we repairing those relationships.
So it's not reparation, it's restoration. We're not just talking about paying somebody back, we're talking about making something whole.
Right.
Even if it was not necessarily whole in the first place?
Well, and I think that's how in a school we're really working on a couple different ends. You're doing a lot of preventative work. You're doing a lot of skill building and capacity building so that we can build the strongest relationships possible so you have a really great foundation. So if a harm does occur and we do some sort of intervention where we're talking about repairing relationships, you're actually then repairing the relationship back to the strong foundation that you established in the first place. And that work often does happen simultaneously.
Restorative justice in school, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Rafi Kunkel is from Resolve in Medford. She's the Director of Education, Training, and School Programs. Jenny Hale is the principal at Phoenix High School in Phoenix, Oregon. Angela Escalante is a sophomore at Phoenix High School. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Angela, I want to hear from you. What kind of involvement have students like yourself had in the process of instituting the process of restorative justice at Phoenix High School?
I like this process that is being done because you get to see the student side and you get to see their perspective and why they did what they did, their actions, and how they felt. Because, you know, every individual, they have a background. They know why they're doing it, but when they're doing the action, maybe they might not exactly know. And so I like this process because you get to kind of understand their feelings and what they're going through, because they might be going, I don't know, their parents might be going through a divorce or a loved one. They might have lost one, and maybe they're so hurt that they don't see that they're hurting others. So I just really like this process that's being done.
But Jenny Hale, how does that, I mean, I imagine there are going to be some people who are going to clam up and say, forget it, it's none of your business what's going on in my personal life about what might have led me to do this. Just, you know, give me the detention, give me the suspension, give me the expulsion, and I'm out of here. Have you run up against that since you instituted the system?
Sure. This is only our second year. And it's really multiple, there's multiple layers to this whole business. One, first, the whole administrative team need to be trained. Second, the whole staff needed to be aware of where we were shifting to. So this is the first year of implementation, true implementation. Last year, we had one-on-one individual direct contact with the kind of restorative work we're talking about here. And how did we get 170? How did we get that number? Well, let's say that you walk into a classroom and you teach 30 students how to have a restorative dialogue. And let's say you meet all junior English classes, and then you meet with all Spanish classes. And that's what we did last year. And then we met with all of the advisory representatives and said, here's our handbook. How can we change it? So there were probably 60 individual discussions. But bottom line, students were given an option. They were given an option to participate in the restorative process. So you're absolutely right. This year, the restorative process is in our system. It is written up in our referral form. But it is never cold turkey. You don't just say to a student, you will have these wonderful, engaging skills. You'll have this different personality because of this process. No. We're going to explain what we're going to do. I'm going to give you this option. If you don't feel comfortable, I understand. Okay. But then, usually there's a second meeting. Have you had a chance to think about what we talked about 2 days ago? Yeah, I have. So yes, I have come against that kind of wall. And then I've revisited the wall, and the wall isn't so high. Then I revisit it again, and the wall is even lower. Because it's a matter of kids wanting to belong to a community. They don't want to be isolated, and they really do want to be heard and want to be treated as a human being. And that's what this process is about.
Mm-hmm. Rafi Kunkel, are there more steps? Is there more time involved in restorative justice? Is it a little more labor-intensive than just punishing people?
It is. It definitely takes more time to sit down and have a conversation with somebody and really explore everything behind what was happening for them at the time, what they were thinking and feeling, who they think was really impacted by what they did, and then really trying to figure out together what it would look like to really make things right. It's much faster and easier to hand out a lunch detention or issue a 3-day suspension. But ultimately, I think what often happens in that kind of a view of discipline is you're responding to the initial harm with even more harm and isolation. And what's happening in that case is you're severing relationships that really need to be repaired and rebuilt and strengthened to prevent that behavior from happening again in the future.
Particularly in school, then, you're talking about taking people away from the people who could potentially be the greatest benefit to them.
Absolutely. So we know that school is the best place for kids to be these days. If they're home or they're away from their pro-social and positive communities, they're away from their learning, they're separated from the very people that I think can help them build the skills and competencies that they're really needing in that moment.
Restorative justice in school, our topic on the Jefferson Exchange. Rafi Kunkel is with Resolve. Jannie Hales, the Phoenix High School principal, and Angela Escalante, one of her students, a sophomore. You can join us at 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. What would you, granted this is only your second year at Phoenix High School, but how would you characterize some of the changes that might have come about, Angela, because of the change in how infractions are dealt with?
Well, see, I'm not a person that likes to get in trouble, but if I did, I feel like it would be a great opportunity to kind of express and tell why my actions were done, and I feel like it's a great opportunity for other, well, I'm not saying it's a great opportunity to get in trouble, but if it were the case, then it would be great for students to explain and to kind of, instead of giving them like, yeah, lunch detention, then they're going to be like, hey, whatever, well, I know the consequences, so if I do it again, they're going to give me the same consequence. So if they kind of write it out, then they'll probably like understand. I feel like when you're writing down something, then you're kind of like, you're thinking about it more and you're like, wow, like, why did I do that? Like, now I understand why I did this or stuff like that. So
it's a chance to explore your own motivations if you're the mm-hmm. person who committed the infraction.
Yeah.
So, Jannie Hale, you mentioned the referral form, though, so you still have referral forms. I mean, it sounds like some of the old discipline structures are still in place at Phoenix High School.
Well, it's a system. We're a system in place, so we have to document infractions. We have to report infractions to the state. Every high school, every public high school has to report how many tardies, how many thefts, how many incidents of violence, say. And so, yes, it's part of our system. So, but the reform itself has been transformed to provide and space for both teachers or victims to express how the behavior impacted them on a professional or personal level, so that you're looking at this form now as a dean or as a student manager, and you have way more information than you had with the old system. And also it gives the teacher a chance to meet with the student and the dean to repair that relationship, instead of sending the student just back to class, hoping that everything just gets swept under the rug. But as we know, recidivism, when you have repeat behavior, you've got to change some things. And that's what we're trying to stop, is this repeat behavior.
So past and present, give me an example of an infraction that would have led to lunch detention or something in the old system, and the difference in how it's handled now.
A student walks in late with a big gulp or with a big, big coffee drink, and they're loud and they're disruptive, and they sit down because they're loud and disruptive. The teacher is frustrated because she just got the class quiet. So at the end of that class, she writes a referral. okay? And Johnny, I'm writing a referral. What? Yes, I'm writing a referral, and I'm turning it in today. Oh, darn it. And so the referral gets turned in. The student gets called down the next day into the dean's office or student manager's office, and the student has a chance to listen and get a couple of days' lunch detention, like Angela said, and then they go back to class. Has there been dialogue with the teacher? Really, no. Does the student understand how that behavior impacted or how long that teacher spent on a lesson plan or an introductory activity? So, you know, I was assistant principal at South Medford for 6 years. I taught English for 12. I've been here at the high school at Phoenix for since 2003. So I've got a bit of experience, and that's pretty much what goes on in high schools.
All right. We're again talking about restorative justice in high school with Jani Hale, the Phoenix High School principal, Angela Escalante, a Phoenix High School sophomore, and Rafi Kunkel from Resolve, which used to be called Mediation Works, which is helping Phoenix High School implement this. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm going to ask Jani and Rafi to grab the headphones because we do have a call for you. Let's hear from Eileen in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was a teacher at Medford High when Jenny was our student teacher in English, and during her career, I knew what a good English teacher she was, and so I was so disappointed, Jenny, that you decided to go into administration, and I expressed that to you, as I recall. Thank you for going into administration, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Oh,
those student referrals. I always showed the student the referral and said, do you want to change the wording or add or subtract what I said, how I described the situation? And usually they did. Oh, yeah, I think I really said this bad word instead of that one or whatever. And so we'd change it, you know, so they had some input in the referral. But thank you. This just sounds excellent.
All right. Thanks for the call, Eileen. Appreciate it.
That was wonderful. That's wonderful. And, you know, the issue that I was thinking about yesterday morning was there are teachers that have been doing restorative work their entire career. Maybe 100 years ago they were doing restorative work, but not 100%. And our goal in a system, a high school system, is 100%. Not just that teachers are going to comply with a rule, but they understand it and they become committed. So it's not a gamble as to which teacher you're going to get that's going to follow through with this type of restorative practice.
We have another call here from Peter in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jani Hale, Rafi Kunkel, and Angela Escalante.
Is that me?
That's you.
Hi. Just curious. I'm a parent and oftentimes volunteer at our school, and I'm curious how you'd deal with some of these kids. There's really only a couple of them, but they're, you know, in my experience over the last 5 years, I would say, of volunteering and working with all the kids, that there's a couple of them that I swear they've got ants in their pants. They just cannot sit still. You know, little boys, and it really makes me wonder if little boys are even meant to be in school sometimes.
All right, let's get an approach to this. Thanks for that, Peter. Appreciate it. So, Rafi Kunkel, let's turn that to you, because does this get instituted at the lower grades as well?
Yeah, right now we're actually working with schools on a full K through 12 spectrum right now. So we're really exploring what it looks like with the younger kids. I think a lot of the times when we're using this language, we are using words like accountability and responsibility and obligations, which clearly students in kindergarten, first grade really aren't going to understand. So when you're talking about harm or you're talking about impact, you might use words like, hey, well, what happened? How do you think that was for the other person? Who do you think was hurt and how? How do we make this better? So there are definitely ways that you can still use these principles and apply them to younger ages. I think ultimately when you're doing this kind of work, you're really practicing balancing high control, high limit setting, high discipline right alongside high support, high encouragement, high nurture. And so that work is really characterized by doing things with people rather than doing things to them or for them. And I think even little kids can really understand when you're working with them and they're being supported and can really take a leadership role in what needs to happen versus having something just done to them or and for them and they're not involved.
Not forced, for example, to say, go tell Bobby you're sorry.
Right. So instead of saying, you need to apologize or you need to say sorry for what you did, asking both kids, how do we make this better right now, would be a really great way to start.
Angela Escalante, I know you're a sophomore at Phoenix High School, so not much more than a year there now, but do you sense a difference in the mood? I mean, do the students talk about this, I guess, is the biggest question. Are they aware of the changes if they're not generally getting in trouble with teachers, and does it make much of a difference in daily discussions?
Well, I haven't heard of other students talk about it, but I'm pretty sure if, teachers get more engaged in this process, I think students will talk about it a little bit more, because this is our second year, right? Our second year with this new process, and students are not exactly much aware of it because Phoenix High School is a great school, and we don't exactly are kids that are always getting in trouble, and the ones that do, they know about this process, and the ones that don't, well, they obviously don't know. But this year, Jani Hale, she did talk about it during advisory, and so this year more students kind of knew about it than what last year's kids.
Okay, we just have a couple seconds left. Rafi Kunkel, was Phoenix chosen specifically because it is a school that might have had less in the way of discipline problems than some others?
You know, Phoenix High School, I think we knew going into this that they're very relationally focused, and we just felt that they would be a great container for really holding this work and piloting it in a successful way.
Okay, we'll check with you at the end of year two and see how things go. Jani Hale is the principal at Phoenix High School, Angela Escalante, a sophomore there, and Rafael Kunkel is the director of education, training, and school programs at Resolve, formerly Mediation Works. Thank you to all of you for joining us on The Exchange today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.